People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. And let's think about this passage together. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you that we can call you Father. We do thank you that whether the passage that we have before us is long or short, you promise to speak to us through it. And Lord, we thank you for it. And we pray, Lord, you'll apply it by your Holy Spirit this morning. And help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our passage this week follows on from the passage that we thought about last week and that Andrew preached. And I think that Andrew's sermon and what we talked about and thought about last week sets a very good context for the passage that we have this week. Let's remind ourselves of what the passage was last week, verse 9. It says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. 'God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man,'" that's the tax collector, "'rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" And Andrew preached last week, didn't he, that self-righteous people don't enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was teaching here. They are lost. If you're relying on your own righteousness to try and enter God's kingdom today, you're lost. You can't do it. We've just been singing about it. We can't rescue ourselves, and our self-righteousness will never justify us before God. Doesn't matter how many times you go to church. Doesn't matter what tribe or family you come from. It doesn't matter which nation you're from. It doesn't matter how hard you work or your seniority. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how much you love your family. It doesn't matter what you do, even your church work. It doesn't matter even how many sermons I preach. It won't get me to heaven. Those things won't get me to heaven. It won't matter what seniority I have or experience I have. They won't save me. If I say it sometimes explicitly, these things may be clear, and we may think it explicitly, but sometimes in our hearts, we might have a thought process that internally our attitude says, look, I can get to heaven by my own means. Or I have some pride in something that gets in the way of me coming to Jesus as the only way to know God. Like I say, those things do not justify us before God. You will not enter his kingdom. The way I was thinking about it was to think, well, you know, Jesus' door, God's door to heaven, is so wide. It's only so wide. But if we're relying on our self-righteousness or our pride, our head makes us too big. We can't get through it. And these were the things we were thinking about last week. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And I think today that our passage re-emphasizes this. I think it re-emphasizes this. Our passage today starts with verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And I think that last bit there is like the punchline to the story. I tell you the truth. When Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," that strong affirmation, look, just get your head around this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And so my first point today is receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Or like our passage actually refers to earlier on here, it's like a baby infant. Receive the kingdom of God like baby infants. This is incredibly direct teaching about how we receive God's kingdom. What does it mean to be a baby infant? You know, we've got kids crying out there. I can see through the door there, kids crying in their father's arms. Yeah? When I was preparing this passage, I was in a cafe, and what did I see? I saw a guy who was holding his kid in his arms. And the kid was lying back like this. Was asleep. Just a moment before that, he had just had some food. And he had been crying out to his dad or his mum, give me some food. And then after all of that, the father cleared up the mess. He was lying there just looking helpless in his arms. And I was thinking, this is what I'm getting my head around, you know, in my sermon. What does it mean to be like a baby infant? And what I thought was, I'll ask 10 people who've done a lot of work with kids, 10 friends, 10 people in the church who've worked with kids, give me 5 words. I texted them. Give me 5 words that characterize a baby infant or little children to you. What's different about baby children to adults? What characterizes them? And I also read some commentaries. And these were the things that were basically the consensus that they said. One was dependence. They're completely dependent on dad and mum for their food, protection, even their mobility. The guy I was looking at, you know, he had his pram there ready to wheel them away, maybe even hold them in their hands. So dependence. The second word that came up was trust. They have to trust parents or they have to trust adults, don't they? Kids have to do that for their survival, for their safety. Trust. Reliance, need help. Fundamentally, the smaller you go, the more you can see that kids are fundamentally, to a large degree, helpless. They need help. They can't do things on their own. And the younger you go, the more obvious this is. One person didn't give me 5 words. They could just say, the only thing I could think about was crying. That's all they could say. That's the only thing I think of. Crying! How much crying do you see with baby infants, you know? Crying. That's all he could say. That's all I can remember. When I work with kids, you know, these little kids, they're just crying all the time. It just seems they're crying. They're crying out for food. They're crying out for help. When they need something, just cry out. It's basic. Some people said exploring and learning. They're going through a steep cycle of learning. They're usually very direct and open. It's obvious what they think most of the time. Not always, but most of the time. And they're humble in their condition because they just have to rely on parents for safety, for love, and for their survival, for their care. And a more subtle one, but interestingly came up from 2 people, totally separate, was the word sponges. Sponges, I thought, gosh, yeah, what's this, a bit weird? But sponges, and one explained by saying they absorb information, language, habits, and personality as they learn about the world, which was very interesting. So when Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it," we've got to think about these types of things. Are we completely dependent on Jesus and his saving work on the cross for us? Do we trust completely in Jesus? Do we rely completely on Jesus? Do we get help from Jesus and see ourselves as helpless in terms of getting into God's kingdom before Jesus? We're nothing. We need his help completely. Do we cry out for it? Do we have a heart like that? Like a kid? Do we explore Jesus and want to learn from Jesus? Are we direct and open with Jesus? Or are we hiding lots of things from Jesus? We want to hide things from him. Do we recognize our position and be humble towards Jesus, completely dependent on him? Because I think this is a serious question to ask. It may be a very simple point, but we must grasp it. Now, I came up with my slide today, and my image didn't come up on the slide, but I can tell you that my image on my slide that I was going to do, because I got an old version by mistake, was just of a baby crying out and a cross above the baby. Help! It's like that. It's only by trusting in Jesus completely and utterly for what he did on that cross, in dying for you and me, and then rising again to give us new life and life in God so that we can call him Father, that we can enter his kingdom. And I think it's like that tax collector. Didn't he? He was at the back of the church. He was at the back of the church and he says, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm just useless, Lord, before you. I can't do it. You know, he just cried out for mercy. I'm a sinner. I need your help. I want to be saved. And the question is, are we like that? Have we done that? Are we like that? Do we have that attitude for our salvation? Like that humble tax collector, like a kid crying out to God. Because often I think our pride gets in the way. Often I think our pride gets in the way. It might be ourselves or it might be others we talk to. And you say, look, just call out to Jesus and be saved. Just get that forgiveness by crying out to him. When Jeff and I were walking through the forest not long ago, we were spending some time walking through the forest, and we were coming back to the prayer meeting here in the evening. And there was a guy who came up to us, and he said he wanted to speak to us. We said, hello. He said, where are you going? He said, well, we're going to the church, the prayer meeting at the Grove Hill. He's asked about Grove Hill. What's Grove Hill about? What do we do here? We said that we believe in the Bible. We believe in the Lord Jesus. We believe in what it says about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. But what did he want to talk about? Well, he said, look, I'm interested in Moses and whatever. But I'm interested in Moses and what he says about things in the future. And he was particularly interested about Nostradamus and how he thought that Nostradamus and what Nostradamus wrote and this book that he wanted us to read about the 11th horn fulfilled the prophecy of the Bible in the Old Testament. And we said, well, look, the Bible's not all about that. We don't need to read about this other book to know about Jesus. Jesus means Savior, I kept saying. I said it a few times. It's all about Jesus. The New Testament's all about Jesus. It's all about salvation. And all you need to do is call out to Jesus for salvation. But he didn't want to listen. He didn't want to listen. Didn't want to accept the simple truth about salvation. And I pray that this guy will have heard what we were saying and maybe think about it and be humble. But it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for people to think they know better. Maybe even us. We think we know better than to cry out to God, to cry out to Jesus for salvation and accept his salvation like a baby infant. So let's not fall into the trap to think we know better. And my second and final point is, I don't think is the big point I've already given, but this I think is also taught in this passage, some things that Andrew was referring to, and I'm going to pick up on it. Number two here, welcome all people to Jesus including children. Verse 15, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Now, one of the themes of Luke, I think, is which is laid on very clearly for us, I believe, is that as Jesus comes to seek and save the lost, he makes it very clear in the book that that includes everybody. Very clear. Because all outcasts in society, or virtually all you can think of, are there in the book of his time. So far in the book, Jesus has shown this love of God to Samaritans. Well, they were outside the ballpark, weren't they? There were lepers. Well, they were physically kept outside the community, weren't they? Tax collectors. Well, we're thinking about that repeatedly. Gentiles. Well, they were outside the Jewish community. Prostitutes. Crippled women. Women with blood disease, it would make them pariah. Disabled. The demon-possessed. We've had he reaches a debaucherous prodigal son in the story, doesn't he, of the two sons. Even Samaritan lepers, combining these. And children. Now, children in our society aren't treated like children were in the society of the time of Jesus. But children in those days and baby infants were not considered important like adults. So when we see this in the story here, it's not quite like it is today. Sometimes kids are elevated very highly in our society, aren't they? But here he illustrates the welcome to children who weren't, in those days, very welcome like this, or weren't treated as highly as this. So he teaches thus in his actions and his words to welcome children, welcome all people into the kingdom of God, and this includes children. This includes children. And so they can come humbly and rely on Jesus just like adults, as Andrew has been saying. And isn't that wonderful? Everybody's welcome to Jesus' kingdom. No one is excluded. For those who just come and humbly cry out to him, he's loving and wants to reach all kinds of people. But the disciples didn't do this, did they? Did you notice what they did? They were bringing the babies to Jesus to have him touch them. He was probably going to bless them. He'd been healing lots of people, and he just blessed them and just be with him. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. They rebuked the people who were bringing these kids. They didn't want the baby infants getting in the way of the teaching to the others, or the message of Jesus and what he was going to do with the adults. But Jesus called the children to him and says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And if the passage earlier in Luke it came before this, the disciples should have known better. Because in Luke 9, verses 46 to 48, Jesus has already taught them this, that they should welcome kids. Because earlier in that chapter there, in chapter 9, in 46 to 48, it says, "An argument started amongst the disciples." It's all about pride. "As to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and made him stand beside him. Then he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it's the one who is least among you who is the greatest.'" So he even associated welcoming kids into his kingdom with welcoming God to the place of his own kingdom, as it were. So do we welcome kids to God's kingdom? Well, I pray that we welcome kids. We give them an equal welcome to all others. Yeah? Not greater than adults. Some people idolize kids so high that they say they're greater than adults in their attitude. But at the same time, not less than adults. We welcome kids. We welcome everyone here to the kingdom of God. Does it mean we don't have a creche? Everyone should be welcome in this service here. I would say we welcome kids in all different forms and cater for them in all different ways that make sense for them. So I look out on the kids in the creche room there. It's great to have different provision to make them as welcome as possible and make people as welcome as possible in all ways that we can. And how do we communicate with kids? Do we communicate with kids in such a way that we may think, we may actually, although we may say, oh yeah, they're welcome just as much as me, but in the way I communicate with kids, you know, is it as welcoming as if I was communicating with someone else? Someone with more status? We welcome kids, we welcome other people, we welcome all types of people with an equal love, don't we? That's what Jesus would want us to do. And I think that's what he's teaching here. And he teaches us not to be like the disciples who tried to stop people coming to Jesus. Let's not do that neither literally nor in our attitude. We should do the opposite. Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to Jesus. And do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So let's receive the kingdom of God like baby infants, and let's welcome all people to God, including children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the beauty of the simplicity of this. Let us not be like the disciples who don't welcome kids, don't welcome people. Let us ourselves not think we're better than a baby infant crying out to God. We need to be like that, to cry out to you and receive you and receive what the Lord Jesus has given to us in the gospel. Let us receive him like that and cry out to him and be reminded of that and be humble. So do pray these things, and I thank you again that we know how to look at this passage and think about these things together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.